this is the Angry GM, and if you're listening to this, you are listening to the supplemental question and answer portion of the Proofread Aloud. I just finished recording of the article, The Best and Worst of D&D 5e, or whatever I actually titled it, because I can't remember the long-ass stupid title. Anyway, now I'm going to be taking questions and comments from the people who listened live as I recorded this, and I'm going to start with Caladrev. Which was more fun for you? Coming up with the pros and cons for 3.5e, or coming up with the pros and cons for 5e? That is an excellent and complicated question. Honestly, look, first of all, it is always more fun to write negative criticism. Negativity is fun. Okay, so I just from that standpoint, I enjoyed writing the negatives of 3.5, because it's a game I love, and the negatives are negatives I've learned to deal with, and I don't mind them, so I can just sit there and bash on this game. You know, I can you can bash on something you love if you love it, and you can admit that it's faults, right? And it's fun to do so. The whole the Order of the Stick comic, The Order of the Stick comic was actually based on the idea that 3.5 was an absolutely delightful game that was nonetheless put together very, very badly in some ways, and that all of its confusing little rules foibles would be funny if you actually considered them in the context of a real universe. You know, and then it all went Cerberus effect on it, on things. Okay. That said, I also enjoyed coming up with cons for 3.5 and pros for 5e because I like 3.5 and I dislike 5e, and there is an element of challenge of sitting there and trying to come up with the good and the bad and the bad and the good. And that's why I did this, because I like to challenging myself that way. Okay. That all of that said, by the time I was done writing the cons for 5e, I was depressed. Because it went from poking fun at mechanics and this and that and the other thing to realizing I really don't feel like 5e is the game for me, and I want it to be the game for me because I have an emotional attachment to Dungeons & Dragons. Dungeons & Dragons has been a huge part of my life for most of my life, since I was 10 years old. I've run a lot of other games, too. People think I've only ever run Dungeons & Dragons and only ever played Dungeons & Dragons. I've run and played a lot of games in my life. But Dungeons & Dragons is the one I love the most. It's the one I keep coming back to. It's the one I made all my best friends in. It's the one that created the Angry GM. It's the one that changed my whole life when I decided I wanted to be a game designer. And the designers of that game have also changed my life in a variety of ways, which is a story for another time. And as I was sitting there and the worsts of 5e started stacking up, and revealing that I really did feel like this was a system that didn't want me. It doesn't want a creative GM. It doesn't want me to make my own stuff. It wants me to shut up and run its game for the players. That's my job. I am here to entertain the players. D&D 5e literally makes me feel like I am a dancing monkey here to entertain the players. Okay? That's and as I was writing, I came to that realization that that's really at the core of it, why D&D 5e makes me feel so bad. And that so and ultimately, I even rewrote and softened the entire ending of that article. The last three worsts were completely rewritten, and I thought about dropping them and writing totally different five worst things about 5e just so that I wouldn't end the article on such a down note, because it was making me emotionally sad. But in the end, I decided to be honest about it, but I did also soften it up a little bit because I was basically just screaming. Plus, I got to work in a nice lesson there about, you know what, all this even-handed analysis is nice, and it's always good to be unbiased and objective and all of that stuff. But end of the day, you're going to like what you like. You're going to not like what you're not going to like. It's emotional, and you're not always going to be able to explain why. A lot of it is just going to be how it makes you feel. And that's important to understand too. Minstrel, the ten-eyed beholder. 11-eyed. Beholders have 11 eyes. Huh. I never thought about that, but beholders have 11 eyes. What systems are the other two articles in this series about? 4E and... ...... Okay, there was only one other article in this series, and it was about 3.5E. So, yeah, that's it. I did the five best and worst things about 3.5E and the five best and worst things about 5E. That's it. I might go back. Like, I might, I don't know how. There was a gigantic 4E discussion that is making me really want to go back and re-examine 4E and try to play it. But... yeah, Minstrel is pointing out, yes, four lists, not four articles. Yeah, there are four lists, two bests and two worsts. Yeah, plus there's one honorable mention and one dishonorable mention. Okay, Procillus asked about the save ends joke, because I can always count on Procillus not only to be an excellent producer and to keep me on task, and also to be an excellent broom wielder and keep me on task, but also... to always ask the question that I clearly want to be asked and I'm hinting at. And that is, you know, what was the 4E joke? Okay. So, first of all, 4E, you have to understand that saving throws in 4E functioned completely differently than every other edition of D&D. A saving throw was not a roll you made to avoid an incoming attack. But rather, it was basically a 50-50 coin toss you made when you were afflicted by an ongoing condition at the end of each turn to end the condition. So it was actually a duration mechanic. So you would see a lot of things in the rules, like, you know, the target takes ongoing 5 fire damage, and then in brackets it would say save ends, meaning at the end of each turn, the target can make a saving throw, and if they succeeded, they wouldn't take the damage, or at the beginning of each turn, or whatever. I think you made it at the beginning of each turn just before you took the damage, or something like that. It doesn't matter. I don't remember the timing. There was a joke about how 4E was so easy and so fluffy on the players that it was impossible to kill player characters. And so the joke online became, you know, when you are reduced to 0 hit points, your character dies, save ends, which also mirrored the saving throw mechanic because you had death saves, right? Okay. Before you return to the, Logic Dragon. Before you return to 3.5, were there any especially important approaches, house rules you used to ameliorate the worst parts of 5e? Here's the thing. First of all, what you have to understand is I don't use a whole lot of house rules. Okay, I just sit and run games. I know I write a lot of mechanics, and I'm actually pretty damn good at writing mechanics, I think, in my personal opinion and based on the feedback I've received. I think I'm actually really good at writing mechanics, which is funny considering how little I use them myself. The worst parts of 5e have nothing to do with the game's mechanics. Okay. The worst parts of 5e, in order to fix those five worst parts of 5e that I mentioned, okay. First of all, I would have to just completely rip out advantage and disadvantage, which would require me writing too many abilities. Like, I would have to rewrite everything from whether rogues, sneak attacks, key off advantage, or whatever. Okay, so, because as I said, the problem is advantage and disadvantage is the one modifier that dominates literally everything. Every other modifier, and that's a problem for me because then I can't do anything situational that feels as good as getting advantage and disadvantage. There's no house ruling that. There's nothing I can do other than rewriting the system from scratch. The weird imbalance between player characters in the world that I described, where you have these, you know, superpowered superheroes that are either ridiculously delicate or ridiculously overpowered, nothing in between, what am I going to do there? Rewrite all of character advancement? You know, and then the shit about the game just not having a world and not having meat for the GM. Then I'm just like, again, rewriting the entire system. This is 5e is the worst I've ever felt about any role-playing game I've ever run, because the things that it's doing to me, I can't really explain them fully. And also, I can't fix them. D&D is beyond, 5e is beyond saving. And that's honestly my big fear with 1D&D. Like, there's nothing they can do, because they want to keep evolving 5e. They want to keep going with the approach they've gone with. And it's not going to make things any better, because I don't think 5e can be saved to be the game I want it to be. Now, it is important to keep in mind that all of this is just me talking about the game I want to run. Okay? Of course, there's been a lot of talk lately in the community, and there's actually been talk for years now, but it's suddenly coming to the fore lately because the right person found the right article and talked about it on his YouTube channel. But there is a shortage of GMs. There's a shortage of people who want to run 5th edition. So I am taking that as an indication I'm not alone in how I feel. But nonetheless, all of the stuff I'm saying now is about the game that I personally want to run. D&D 5e isn't that. I want it to be, because it says Dungeons & Dragons, and it's the latest Dungeons & Dragons, and it's the thing I should love. And now I don't have D&D anymore. I have my old D&D, right? I can still do all my old D&D. But I'll never see anything new for D&D again that I actually want to use, because, you know, D&D's not for me anymore. It's done. And that's sad. Anyway, so I forgot the question. Is it no? Yes? No? Whatever. I answered someone's question. Who's next? Dan Floor, why are the death mechanics in 5e so good? I don't know. Next question. All right, yeah, okay. Now that everybody's had a chance for a laugh, I'm going to tell you honestly, I don't know. And this is an important thing to understand. For all that you can sit and analyze a piece of mechanics, okay? And I keep harping on this, and people keep not hearing me. You can sit and, like, analyze mechanics and probabilities and human psychology and absolutely everything and try to come up with a perfect understanding of a mechanic. But it's all just a guess, and sometimes you can't get there. What really matters is when you sit down and play with a mechanic, if it feels right, it works. It's good. Okay? And if it doesn't, then it doesn't work and it's not good. And you can try and figure out why so that you can try to build better mechanics. But you're just guessing, because you can't separate out one mechanic from another, and you can't separate one event out of the entire gameplay experience. And the gameplay experience of D&D is such a complex emergent experience, and it is based on so many different dynamics that there's going to be times when it just defies your understanding. If I sat and thought about it, maybe a week from now, I could come up with a good explanation for the death mechanics in 5e and why I think they're just spot on. They work perfect. They're exactly the death mechanics I always wanted in D&D. You know, and honestly, they're very similar to the 4e mechanics, and I think I like them in 4e too. But they work. They feel good. Okay. And you know how I know that? Because when I sat down to write these articles, what I did was I started brainstorming, and I said, okay, what are the things, like, if I sit here and think about what are the best things about D&D 5e, and I just started trying to fill a page, and I did not fill a page. I did not come close to filling a page, but I didn't even fill a page with stuff in D&D 3.5. I think at best, when I brainstormed, I had like 8 things on the best for D&D 3.5. I had 5 things exactly for D&D 5e. I had 4 worsts for D&D for D&D 3.5, and I had like six worsts for D&D 5e. So it was all pretty close. You know, it's not like I left huge things on the cutting room floor and then I just moved stuff around. But one of the things that immediately popped into my head was, I said, okay, what does 4e do real or 5e do really well? I'm like, you know what? The death mechanics, spot on. It's something I never felt I needed to touch. I liked it and I wish I could use it in every edition of D&D. And frankly, I sort of could. Okay. So, sorry, Dan, I don't have a better answer for you. Okay? And sometimes you have to be willing to say that. All, like, half the stuff on the 5e worsts list was like that anyway. It was like, look, I can't explain exactly why. This was the thing with the play balance thing. As I was sitting there writing this, and I drafted it twice before I did the final rewrite on it. And I said, you know what? Actually, this isn't just about all the shit on the player character sheet, right? There's something off here. It feels like the characters and the world don't fit together in some fundamental way for reasons I can't figure out. You know, that whole thing about Superman beating up purse snatchers. You know, ultimately, that's just an impression. It's just a feeling. It's a feeling I can't shake. And as I kept writing about it, that feeling became firmer and firmer. It's like, yeah, this is really what's going on. It's not just about how powerful the characters are. I've played games with very powerful characters before. I've run superhero games. But there's something about this one where it feels like, yeah, there's just, it feels like the characters, you know what? Honestly, I know what it is. I know what it is and I know exactly how it happened. Okay. D&D is all about selling. D&D 5e is all about selling itself to the players. Okay. It is a pure player playground. Unapologetically. And they make no secret about this. Okay. But that's sort of the price of like building a game based on feedback from the players, right? Is that you're going to get a player playground. There was a joke back in the, they were in the D&D podcast, they were talking about the upcoming release of the 4E Player's Handbook. And Dave Noonan and I think Jeff Grubb were joking because they were talking about different internal playtesting and different iterations of the fighter. And I think, you know, Noonan asked Grubb, like, so is there anything you think you need to add to the fighter? Or do you think the iteration of the fighter is fairly complete? And Jeff Grubb said, well, you know, I can always think of things. Like, it'd be really awesome if I could fly and shoot laser beams from my eyes. And it was just this flippant remark, just two very professional guys joking around in a very natural way. Which also, man, is it just me or does nothing about D&D, the interaction between the various people at Wizards of the Coast feel remotely like buddies playing a game or talking about a game together? Like, like I watched Crawford do all those interviews and I'm like, oh my God, this does not make me feel like I want to be friends with these people at all. Okay, it's like you are not interviewing like people about the political state of the world right now. You're talking about a pretend elf game. But that aside, okay, that's the problem with asking players for feedback. Players want to fly and shoot laser beams out of their eyes, which I'm not faulting them for it. If I was a player, I'd want to fly and shoot laser beams out of my eyes. But when you build a game that is entirely a player playground, okay, then you end up, and then the game itself is an afterthought. And we know this is what happened because of the development cycle on the DM's Guide and the Monster Manual and how playtesting was done on the monsters and everything else. It was done very haphazardly at the end because WotC Corporate said, look, it's now been 2 years since we had anything to sell. You have to be done developing this game soon. You have to release it. So they made a game about building really, really awesome characters. And they don't know what the hell to do with the characters. They didn't make a game for those, a world or a game for those characters to play in. And I think that's what I'm feeling, you know? And it comes, it doesn't come through in any one specific thing. I can't point at any one mechanic, right? I can't point at any one thing. It's just this emergent feeling. Okay. Do I have any other questions or comments, or should I start wrapping up? Because I think I'm in my last 5 minutes anyway. Maybe my producer can confirm that. The point is, this was, you know, like 80%. Yeah, I am in my last five, says Procellus. Point is, this was 80% a ton of fun to do. And then I hit the end of the 5e list and just ended up feeling really kind of sad and depressed for reasons that are not so much, I hate wizards for ruining D&D as much as I'm realizing that I have lost something that I valued in my life, you know? And I know people say the old editions are still there and you can always go back and you can run whatever game you want and you can make your own game, do it, and that is all true. Okay, but there is nothing like this, like knowing that you're just never gonna have that excitement again of running out to buy the next source book or to see what the next iteration is like, or, you know, what's the next new thing they're gonna do? You know, because it's not just playing the game. I love following the game. I love following the development cycles. I think it is very clear, if you listen to me, that I have, you know, for at least 20 years now, made it a point of being pretty plugged in to what the designers of my game were doing. And I love that too. I love following these people and listening to them. You know, Dave Noonan is my hero. Okay, hands down, he is my hero. And when he shook my hand and said I was good at what I do, that changed my entire life in a way you cannot imagine. So, you know, I'm not going to have that again. Ever. You know, I'm never going to, Crawford is never going to say to me, hey, good job, Angry, you're doing God's work. And it's never going to mean anything to me. And I'm never, ever going to care what they're doing with Ardlings in the next playtest release. I'm just never going to have that again. Okay. And that's what I'm sad for. I'm not sad because they ruined D&D or destroyed everything I've ever loved. I'm just sad because that was all fun stuff and I don't get to have it, you know, and you mourn a loss, but you also move on or you find something new to fill the void, like making your own role-playing game with blackjack and hookers. In fact, forget the role-playing game.